And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Carson Anderson program here on 97.1 The Ticket. Gator with you along with Stoney, who was in for Doug. Stoney looks very confused here in our kind of revamped studios. But you've done the show since we've... Oh, you haven't?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I want to sign on to the computer here, but there's no keyboard. The keyboard's for the other screen, I guess, and... I might have to move over later.
There's another one over back there, but I'm not sure if that'll work with that. Yeah, I don't know if I can help you with that.
Okay.
I'd like to think I could, but maybe I can't. Things change, man.
Hey.
Things change.
That's right.
Yes, you got to learn how to adapt, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing here. Adapt on the fly. We had to do a little bit of that last week, for sure, but we feel better about it now-ish. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. There's no computer. There's no keyboard for you.
No.
I'm sure it's close by.
Yeah, well, there's a keyboard there that's for that screen. So maybe I'll sit over there. I don't know. Whatever.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Look, we welcome you, the people out there, 248-539-9797.
There was radio before there were computers.
This is true. Absolutely, 100%. Look, I think what's on everybody's mind, I mean, we don't have to go too far in depth of what's coming up on the show other than to say that 10:35, we're going to offer up our champ and chumps, but you can have your champ and chump of the weekend anytime you like. You can call us or text us. It's the same number, 248-539-9797. But Stoney, we're going to start with the Tigers. There's a number of places we can start with the Tigers, but why don't we just start with what's in our face, and that is a four-game losing streak that they have. It's the longest losing streak of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, they answer these losing streaks with winning streaks, and they go on pretty good runs after that. But we've got the All-Star break. So everything comes to a complete hold. I kind of feel like it's probably a good time for the All-Star break.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of recalibrate here.
And look, and I don't want to get too worried about what's ahead, but I will say that when they resume, and I'm sure we'll all talk about it after the All-Star game, they resume in Texas, who's a pretty good team, 5-3 in their last eight. The Rangers have outscored their opponents 53-30. And they are also, by the way, the second-best team in the league in WHIP and first in ERA. And by itself, okay, they got to go play Texas, who actually, if I'm not mistaken, beat the Tigers in a series in Comerica earlier this season.
They did.
Conversely, now I know it's an 11.5-game lead, but the Twins are in Colorado, the Guardians are hosting the A's, and Kansas City's playing the Marlins. So it would be imperative, maybe that's too strong of a word, to the Tigers to at least hopefully go 2-1 against Texas, hold serve.
I'll just win the series. Yeah, that's how they played all season long. They've only lost, 10 series all season long or something
like that?
So they've been very, very good this season. Obviously, there's still 21 games above 500. They still have a healthy 11.5-game lead in the Central Division.
They still have the best record in baseball,
they're still a really, really good baseball team. But it doesn't mean that they don't have their holes, which we all know every team has flaws. Even if you put an all-star team together, there's still going to be some kind of flaw there. I was just about to say, this is a team that's not chock full of all-stars, and yet there are six of them.
Yes.
Which is kind of crazy to think about, and, you know, deservedly so, with the way that those guys have played in the first half, plus 20 games or whatever it is in the season, or plus an extra 15 games. They've got out to this lead, and it's nice to have this lead, particularly when you're going into an extended break here. I don't think they play again until, Friday?
Correct.
I think it's when they start playing baseball again. So they got some time off here. And some of these guys definitely need some time off. And I think they're probably welcoming having the time off. But losing four in a row going into the break, that's not ideal. Of course it's not ideal. And it's been a breakdown all series long against the Mariners in all facets of the game. They didn't field the ball particularly well.
No.
They didn't pitch particularly well. I mean, Scooble got hit up. Casey Mize got hit up.
By the way, I want to ask you a question. I mean, it could be I don't want to make a big deal of it, so don't take it for what it's worth. Do you think they made a mistake by switching the days with Scooble and Mize? I think they did it for the All-Star game. I don't know, because originally Scooble was supposed to pitch on Saturday. They moved him up to Friday. It was still a normal rest, so to speak. You think that had anything to do with either of their struggles?
I don't think
probably
so.
Probably not.
No, and I don't think it matters. It's a short-term thing. Yeah. It's, you know, no, I'll answer your question.
Okay.
No, I don't think it matters even a little bit. I think what matters is that they didn't pitch well.
No.
You know, Scooble, I was surprised that he got hit as hard as he did, that Mize got hit as hard as he did, that the bullpen got hit as hard as they did, that the Tiger hitters, they didn't get the big hit when they really needed it.
Except for Riley Green.
Yeah, and the solo home run that he hit to give them the 4-3 lead yesterday, but that was short-lived.
Right, that's the one I meant.
Yeah. But beyond that, I mean, they didn't. When I said a big hit, I mean, like, you've got bases loaded, two outs, you need to deliver a double or a right. single, and that just, it just didn't happen. Certainly didn't happen often enough. You could find a couple of instances. Well, yeah, they had a hit here and a hit there, but not like what Seattle was doing. Seattle just pummeled the Tigers bullpen all weekend long, and that's kind of painful to watch when you start resurrecting guys' careers, you know, like Rodriguez. All of a sudden, he's back to being a real threatening player.
Rosarena had a good series. Yeah. Look, they got outscored 35-14 to the Tigers. They gave up 11 home runs.
Wow.
The most alarming stat to me is, if I did my math correctly.
Oh, here we go.
They gave up 21 runs after the sixth inning.
I think your math is probably close on that. If you're probably right.
Now, granted, a lot of that was the ninth inning on Friday, but still.
Oh, but it was every game they gave up runs.
Yeah. I mean, they had leads in two of them, right, up until that the sixth inning, if I'm not mistaken?
I think there may have just been the lead in the game yesterday.
Okay, but they were close in one.
They got close, but then, you know, Seattle put more distance between them. Yes. It's a problem.
Yeah, it's a huge problem.
At least it was in the series. But that's really the bigger question is it a problem moving forward? Now, adding before the trade deadline, which is July 31st, so that's 17 days away, adding before the deadline it's imperative the Tigers do something.
Yes, and look, Scott Harris said they would. I trust them. The question is, to me, if, I don't know how many games they're going to let this go, but if it doesn't improve, you know, within the first series in Texas, the hell with wait until July 31st. Let's get this done now before other teams go after some of your players that you want. And if you have to give up maybe a little more, so be it.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of teams want to take that approach, and the team that's selling is going to say, well, you know what, we're going to wait because they can. So I know I'm with you. I think everybody would like to say, just let's add now. And we don't have to wait. Let's not get into a bidding war at the end of the 11th hour by the trade deadline. Get it done now. But you can't do that unless the other team wants to trade with you. That's the whole two to tango thing, right?
Right.
That's the part of the deal that nobody knows. Nobody knows what Minnesota is saying or what the Diamondbacks are saying, what the Pittsburgh Pirates are saying. Nobody knows. If they're like, you're calling about Bednar, the closer in Pittsburgh, and hey, we'd like to bring him over here, let's talk trade. If Pittsburgh is saying, yeah, you're not alone, and we've told everybody, back off until we'll be willing to talk trade 5 days before the deadline, mm-hmm. and then we'll, you know, best and last at whatever. Don't know what approach teams take. Ask yourself what kind of approach you would take if you were the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you know you've got one or two pieces in the bullpen that everybody in the league wants. Would you make a deal right now, or would you wait?
Well, sometimes if you wait too long, you don't get great value. Yeah. Hello, J.D. Martinez, Al Avila. However, I think I'd wait a little bit if I was those teams. Maybe not to the very deadline, but if you get offered something that you want, you should take it.
Well, in the meantime, because it is the All-Star break, there's probably not going to be a whole lot of action going on until, say, Friday.
No, plus they're all working on their drafts.
Yeah. Today is the second day of the draft. We'll get into the Tigers draft and what they did yesterday a little bit later in the show. But we want to ask the people, 248-539-9797. That's the telephone number, same number to text. When it comes to this team, if you were a bat person, going into the deadline, have you changed at all now? I've always been a bullpen guy, that's what they needed to add to this team. And nothing's changed for me. I'm not thumping my chest about it because I'm not happy about it. I'm really not happy what we saw over the weekend. And I'm also not going to make too big of a deal out of what happened over the weekend. I'm looking at a longer plan than just what happened three games against the Mariners.
Correct. Look, every team goes through this. They lost four straight games. I mean, the Yankees, the Dodgers, all these teams have gone on these lengthy losing streaks. Philadelphia, a lot of good teams.
Yes, and all these teams are also expected to add before the deadline, which right. is why people are getting antsy and why you're saying you want to make something happen now, and I'm not against that. I'm just saying that I think that everybody's going to want to try to do that, and the teams that hold the power, the bad teams in baseball that have the players that everybody wants, they can dictate the terms, and we'll see what happens there. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket. Well, they did rally. Unfortunately, they couldn't hang on to the rally. They were able to tie things late, and then they took the lead late. And then they gave the lead right back to Seattle and lost the game. The finale to the series, they get swept. That does not happen often. This team has been so good this season that that's just kind of an abnormality. But because it's the last thing we saw, and you tack on a loss at the end of the previous series, it's now four games in a row the Tigers have lost, and I think people are starting to freak out a little bit. And I don't think it's necessary to freak out, but I think there are concerns. I think there are mild concerns, and there are major concerns when it comes to this baseball team. But we're talking specifically about the bullpen and asking the people out there, 248-539-9797, same number to Ticket Texas, and we'll get someone to Ticket Texas in a second here. But asking people, if you used to be a bat person, like pounding your chest and hitting the ground and yelling in the top of your lungs, go get Bregman, go get Suarez, get that third baseman, bring him in. Have you switched over now saying that's not the priority? The priority really is the bullpen. I've said all along, I think it's the bullpen. I think it's the number one priority. I think it's the number two priority. I think maybe the third priority might even be a starting pitcher over a bat. I do not subscribe to the theory that they have to have this right-handed bat to the lineup. Not buying it. I think that you can add one, and I'm not going to yell about it, but I don't think it's your top priority. And I just think that anybody that says bat, you have to understand there's consequences that come with adding a bat to the lineup. And maybe consequences is the wrong word, but there's repercussions at the very least. You have to understand there's another move that happens. If you take somebody out to put it, let's say you add Suarez and put Suarez at third base.
Yeah.
Well, now you're displacing somebody else. So Colt Keith, who's had a hell of a last couple of months, now he's no longer playing third base. Where does Colt Keith play?
DH, I don't know.
Okay, Kerry Carpenter comes back this weekend. Where does Kerry Carpenter go?
He platoons in right field.
But platoon, right? This is what we're talking about.
Well, that's what A.J. Hinch is so great at.
He is.
I agree with you. Bullpen is priority one and two. But if you could get said bat Suarez, I'll worry about the other crap later.
I don't think it's crap to worry about. I think it's a significant thing to consider what has to happen because it disrupts everything is my point. And we went through this a little bit last week, Doug and I did, and it ended up being, you know, it might be Parker Meadows is the guy who's squeezed out because what you might end up doing is having some kind of rotation where you're roving McKinstry all over the place. And McKinstry ends up being like a center fielder and so does Javi Baez. Or McKinstry can play shortstop and Javi goes to center field. Whatever that case is, that's what you end up doing. The other thing is if you add a bat like Suarez, he's not a good fielder. So now you're making your fielding weaker, but you're adding a monster power bat for sure. There's no question about that. And I'm not against adding Suarez. I just think you have to talk it all the way through and understand there are moves that are consequences to this that could end up making you a little uncomfortable, let alone players that you have to give up. But that's a whole other thing. 248-539-9797. Some ticket text coming in. Champ and Chump votes early. Champ, the Tigers, for showing us who they really are so we can now check out Chump, the Tigers, for being bad.
Oh, come on. That's absurd.
Champ, Seattle Mariners. Chump, all the people saying the Tigers are the best team in baseball. We don't need to add anything. Not one person has said the Tigers don't need to add anything.
None.
Nobody has said that. Ever. Ever. And the Tigers are actually the best team in baseball. So I don't know. I mean, again, is this just recency bias because they've lost four in a row here and they got swept by the Mariners?
Yeah.
I think it's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
The entire pitching staff as a whole has the worst ERA in the American League over the past month, and this is the worst bullpen in baseball. If this pitching staff does not get addressed heavily at the deadline, they won't win a series in the playoffs, maybe not even a game. Well, I think it might be a little bit of hyperbole there. I would say this, that the bullpen has to be addressed.
Yes. I think everybody who has something that we call eyesight knows that their bullpen right now stinks. It does. It stinks right now. And they need to get better because it was wonderful last year. The whole chaos thing worked well. It's not working so well. I mean, you got guys, you know, with all due respect, who nobody even thought he was going to be a major league pitcher. You got guys like Chase Lee, who, like, you know, one game he looks like he's great, and the next three straight games he looks like he can't throw a strike. Canely all of a sudden looks awful. Now, short sample size on the awful part, but he's been bad.
He's been fantastic up until recently.
Tyler Holton, you thought he was getting it together, then he gave up a home run. I mean, even Vest, who's been their best, he walked guys yesterday that set up, you know, them going ahead earlier. I mean,
yeah, it was a bad weekend for everybody, but some of these guys have had extended bad weekends, and it feels like you know, just throw blindly at the roster and the bullpen staff, and you hit somebody with an H in their last name, mm-hmm. whether it's Herter, Hanafy, Holton, Hernandez, a lot of guys that leave you going, are we sure these are the guys that we need to have, need to fortify to an extent, and let's add more to it. And I've been concerned about Chase Lee all season long because I worry that he's a novelty because he's a sidearm thrower, right. And I think they can be effective to a point. And if you overuse them, they get exposed, and then teams can figure that out.
Yeah, the novelty wears off.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And the Tigers have just got a bunch of guys that I don't have a ton of faith in, which is why I have no problem adding two bullpen arms. I think you can go ahead in addition and maybe audition some guys from Toledo. If Alex Lang is ready to pitch, let's see. He's got, I mean, he wasn't great last year, no. But can he give you something? They've got a pitcher down there. His last name is Summers, who they got from the Tampa Bay organization earlier, and he's pitched awfully well at Toledo. Can he offer up anything? Maybe, but you're going to have to go outside the organization and get top-notch bullpen arms.
And when we mean go outside the organization, we don't mean picking up a guy that a team that did a horrible bullpen in Philadelphia DFAs.
No. I mean Hernandez. I understand that there's an allure to Hernandez. Guy throws 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. But when he can't find a plate throwing 100 miles an hour, who cares?
That's why he was DFA'd.
Yeah. And then you end up, you know, dropping something that's not 100 miles an hour and trying to get it over the strike zone just to throw a strike, and batters just waiting for it. So that's unfortunate. 248-539-9797. George is next up here, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, George.
Hello. I want to talk about the fact that nobody really mentions that the Tiger batters strike out way too much and the fact that they can't meet the ball. When I was teaching little kids how to hit, first thing I said is you gotta look at the ball and you try to meet it. You look at the Tiger hitters. Their head is to the far left. They're all swinging for the fences. All you got to do, meet the ball. That's the first thing I would teach them. Meet the ball.
Well, I think, first of all, these guys know how to hit. They know how to meet the ball. But you are correct because currently, right now, they are third in the American League with 848 strikeouts. They strike out way too much.
Yeah, does Boston strike out too much? They've won 10 in a row. Do the Yankees strike out too much because they're just behind the Tigers? I mean, striking out is, and thanks for the call. It's part of the game. It's part of the trade you're doing because now the Tigers are hitting a bunch of home runs, right? Home runs score runs.
Where are they at home runs? They're fifth in the American League, 124.
So in baseball, the Tigers are eighth in all of baseball with 124 home runs.
I just have the American League here. And you know, Scott Harris has preached, you know, command the strike zone, which yep. means don't strike out a lot and get some walks.
Well, really, he doesn't want them to chase is correct. What he doesn't want them doing.
So they're sixth in the American League in getting walked. So that's middle of the pack, a little better than middle of the pack, right? Conversely, on the pitching side, they're
almost right in the middle, yeah. 14th in all of baseball.
They're fifth in the American League in strikeouts and fifth in walks.
They are fourth in all of baseball in strikeouts. Okay. And they are, I forget whether they were in walks. Yeah, like I said, I think 14th in all of baseball in walks. But they're, like I mentioned earlier, they're trading it off because they're getting home runs. They're eighth in all of baseball in home runs, which they could not do last year. They couldn't hit home runs last year.
Right.
Last year, they were one of the worst offenses in all of baseball. Despite the hot finish, they were terrible. This year, their OPS is sixth in all of baseball. You take the strikeouts because you're productive. That's the trade-off.
Right.
Now, it does go against a little bit of what Scott Harris has preached. I do agree with that, and it's kind of strange how this works, but he doesn't want the players chasing pitches. Sometimes they're just not catching up to pitches, which can be frustrating when you swing through a really good pitch or if you take a really good pitch because you're expecting a fastball and someone breaks a slider over the plate or a curveball or whatever it is. That can be frustrating as hell.
It was like that reliever for Seattle yesterday. Was it Barsh is his name, I think, or Brash or something like that? He went behind them at the hitter. I forget which Tiger was 3-0, and then he threw three separate different pitches, and they struck out.
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to Texas as well. We will offer up our champs and chumps of the weekend coming up in 5 minutes here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, good news. Stoney found a keyboard. Care to tell the people where the keyboard was, Stoney?
Right under my piece of paper that was covering it.
But so it was right in front of you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to explain the reason why my wife would say this when I do something like that, but she would call me mid-tone, and we'll leave it at that. So if my wife is listening, I had a mid-tone moment.
Stoney, please tell me you went and got someone from engineering to get you a new keyboard.
No.
Oh. I know, King.
Oh, my God.
I got up during a break, and because Stoney's still like, because he's considering going, there's a keyboard over on the wall somewhere over here.
No, I was just going to go move over to where Heather sits and just log on there. That's
so I got up, I walked over, and I'm like, what about that one? It's literally right in front of me. He goes, oh, yeah. Okay.
I wish you would have called one engineer, Scott, Ryan, Robbie, anybody. Guys, I don't have a keyboard. I need a keyboard. I can't operate. Oh, you mean the one underneath the sheet of paper right there?
Yeah. What about trying this one? Mm-hmm. This one, what do you think of this one?
Yeah.
This one look like it could work for you? Mm-hmm. Have you been able to log in and everything else, though?
Yes.
Okay, that's good because it took me forever once we made this switch.
Everything's good.
I'm glad to hear. Glad to hear everything's good. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Some more ticket texts coming in. Champ, Seattle for exposing the Tigers' bullpen. Chump, a Tigers' bullpen for imploding. That's from Rick in Ferndale. Champ is Ron Holland and the Pistons Summer League team. Chump, sadly, Tommy Canley. So Ron Holland in the two games has played pretty well.
Yes, he has.
He looks comfortable out there. He looks assertive. I watched I'm surprised. I think I watched more Summer League Pistons games than basketball than you or King did, and maybe even combined.
Probably. I had it on in background at one point, but after the Victor Wembanyama experience where his first Summer League game, he was awful. And then I remember one year the Pistons, you know, almost won the title or they might have a Summer League. And it just doesn't mean anything. So, you know, you're looking to see whether Holland actually can. We heard about it. He was working on his outside shot. So, yes, that looked decent. And Chaz Lanier looks like he can shoot the ball.
Yes.
But that's it. I mean,
does that mean Chaz Lanier is going to play 25 minutes a game? Oh, no.
No.
No, I don't think he will.
No.
But I was encouraged to see that his shot also looks very smooth, looks very focused and good. And Ron Holland looked good. They had a couple other guys out there that played well.
Actually, the one thing I did learn from Summer League was watching the broadcast for the few minutes that I did and realized that Tom Crean was doing the color commentary. And the guy who was doing play-by-play was like a younger version of Dave Pasch. He sounded exactly like Dave Pasch. And they showed him on the table. And, oh, I know it's not Dave Pasch, but this kid looks like he's like 22 years old.
And the other Pistons that I thought looked decent were Jenkins and Talu Smith. Mm-hmm. But it's summer league. Like you said, there's not a whole lot to glean of it. It's kind of fun to watch if you see some highlights here and there.
If you're a fan of the Motor City Cruise, most of those players will probably be playing for the Cruise.
Well, sure. But these are also people who wanted to see play. Like I want to see Ron Holland. Make sure I want to see him grow and mature and become a valuable part of this Piston team moving forward. And I think he had 28 points in the first game and looked pretty good doing it. And the two games combined, I think he's plus 40 on the floor.
And I think it's time to shut him down. I don't think we need to see him the rest of the way.
May not see him much at all. I think they didn't. They just did that with Cooper Flagg.
Right, exactly.
So, and that concludes our talk of summer league basketball.
Thank you.
Tim is next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Champ, 7 Tigers, including Frankie, getting into the All-Star game. Chump, 6 Tigers and a Tigers organization this weekend for not staying focused. I mean, I told a buddy of mine that they are going to get swept this weekend. Let's get McKinstry in. Let's get Mize is in. Hey, Frankie's in. Let's take pictures. Let's give them a hat, jersey. I mean, they got baseball to play still. But with that said, I think they're going to be fine. They still need some back end help in the bullpen.
True.
A lot of back end help in the bullpen. But I don't know. I just don't think they were focused. And that goes from the organization right down to Hinch. I really do.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
I'm not worried about it either. I think there is some validity to what he said. I mean, but actually, I don't know. You know, all the hubbub of the All-Star, whether that affects their play on the field, I have no idea. That's something that, you know, is intangibles that you can never actually quantify. I will say this, and I'm going to give Pat Caputo credit for this. On Fox 2 last night, where we were doing the show with Jennifer Hammond, they mentioned Frankie, the Bat Boy. But shouldn't Frankie really be called Batman? Because he's like an adult. He's not a Bat Boy, even though it says Bat Boy on his, you know, jersey.
I don't know how old Frankie is.
He looks like he's got to be late 20s, right?
If he's late 20s, I'd be surprised if he were late 20s. But I don't know how old he is. Was it Frankie Boyd? Is that his name? I don't know how old Frankie Boyd is to be the Bat Boy representation from the Tigers. But good for him for getting there. As far as the All-Stars are concerned, look, did it play a role in why the Tigers, did they look out of focus? Maybe it did. I don't know. I'm not going to put a ton of stock into it because it just, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter at this point because they have such a big, do not point.
I know.
Stop that. Because they have such a massive lead in the division and they're playing so well on the season. And now I'm not looking to jinx anything here. I think the All-Star game and the All-Star break comes at a good time. But these guys are deserving of being All-Stars too. It's not like what a cute story. Let's put Zach McKinstry in the game. I mean, Zach deserves to be an All-Star. He's had that good of a season. Casey Mize deserved to be an All-Star. He was having that good of a season. So the three guys got voted in. I mean, they belong in there.
Well, I don't know if
maybe Javi doesn't. Right. Not as a center fielder, but
the only ones
he's there.
The only ones you could say it might have affected their performance over the weekend might have been Scooble and Mize, because McKinstry hit a home run and he did okay. Javi with some really heady stuff. Again, like he always does.
I wouldn't say the All-Star game is why Casey Mize or Terry Schoolman didn't pitch all that well. But
if you're going to go there, those are the only ones. Riley Green certainly played well this weekend for the most part, right?
I think he did. I have to go back and look at the numbers, but I mean, it doesn't matter. Riley Green just produces, and he's one of the best players in baseball at this point. I mean, he's turning himself into going from all-star to superstar right before our eyes. One hell of a first half of the season. First half plus another 15 games, whatever. Time now for Champ or Chump, or Champ and Chump, I should say. It's brought to you by Sarah Chevrolet Sterling Heights. I will start, Stoney. My champ goes to Grace Kim. Grace Kim, yes, the golfer. She won the Evian Championship. It's a major on the LPGA Tour. She was four shots back to start the day. Then she carded an eagle on 18 to force a playoff, and then goes birdie and eagle in the two playoff holes to win the tournament. Congratulations, Grace Kim.
Way to go.
It was unbelievable. Eagle, birdie, eagle finish. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
My champ is Jannik Sinner, who just played an amazing singles final at Wimbledon to beat Alcaraz. And Alcaraz is a great player. And I'm watching, you know, top of the line tennis in those majors is, I love it. I know you don't, but Sinner was great. And the fact that he's not exactly a well-liked player because of the negotiated settlement for his illegal drug, steroids, or whatever the hell he got caught with a few years earlier this year, makes it even more interesting for me.
Yeah, I don't really care about tennis, but it's fine. What I do find interesting with Sinner and Alcaraz is that these two are going to be battling each other for years and years to come. They're the top two tennis players in the world, and they're matching up in every major final, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
My chump of the week, the Tigers bullpen. They give up 22 runs in 14 innings over the weekend against the Mariners. They blew the lead late yesterday. That culminates in a four-game losing skid. The bullpen, my chump of the week.
Well, I'm going to agree with you, but I'm going to go a little more specific. Mentioned him. And that's Tommy Canley. Who did not retire a batter this weekend.
Wow. He gave up seven runs and didn't retire a batter.
Did not retire a batter.
That is not good. There it is. This is the stat of the day. Deservedly so. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. If you want to participate, take a text as well. It's the same number to text in your responses. We're talking about the Tigers and the troubles we've seen going into the All-Star break. Look, the grand scheme of things, this team is a very good baseball team. 21 games above 500, 11.5 game lead in the division, and yet coming off a four-game losing skid, had some Tiger fans going, uh-oh. We'll talk more about the uh-oh. Is it a big uh-oh? Is it a small uh-oh? And what's the difference? We'll discuss next year. 97.1, the ticket. All right, I have some more ticket texts coming in. Tiger bullpen is pathetic, but Meadows, Vierling, Rogers, and Sweeney not hitting is also a big concern. Too many holes in the second half could be bumpy. Rick and Waterford. All right, I think this is interesting. I think that the bullpen absolutely is going to be reworked here with more arms. The players you mentioned, Meadows, Vierling, Rogers, and Sweeney not hitting, too many holes in the lineup.
Well, first
these
of all,
these aren't all starters.
Right.
Meadows has been starting in center field for his defense first, and he even faltered in the defensive over the last few days.
Bad week.
Not a good weekend for him, but he's a very, very, very good center fielder defensively, but not a good weekend for him. Vierling, Rogers, and Sweeney. Well, Rogers is your backup catcher, and by all accounts, a great guy behind the plate, but lacks the hitting tool. Sweeney, very good defensive shortstop, but again, lacks a hitting tool. And Matt Vierling, coming back from injury, is still getting up to speed. He was a guy who was counted on last year a lot. And I think a lot got made out about how good and how important he was for the team, because he was one of the few guys in the roster who I think actually had an above average OPS on the team last year. But the team last year was so bad that he stood out for being above average.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the team is so much better hitting wise, they've got a bunch of guys on this in the everyday lineup that are above average OPS wise. Now it kind of exposes Vierling for perhaps being what Vierling is. But what he really is just an extra guy in the lineup.
Right. He's a good guy to have in the clubhouse. It's like I always said, every team needs a guy like Matt Vierling. You just can't have a lot of them.
Well, and that's where I wonder, do they have too many? Like, is McKinstry is having this year, it's an all-star year, but it's well above and beyond what he's ever done as a major league player in the past. I don't know if it's sustainable. I don't know if this is what we should expect from Zach McKinstry for the next 5 years of his major league career to be this good. But it does give me pause because I'm not ready to sit here and say this is the guy who has to be in the lineup every day, even though I think he does right now until he proves otherwise. But the Vierling, Rogers, Sweeney, and Meadows complaint that this texter has, or that Rick has, I think it's legit, and we probably should take a closer look at what Parker Meadows is doing or what he's not doing.
He's hitting 193 since he came back, two home runs, 36 strikeouts. And like you mentioned, you know, he's always been a great fielder. I mean, he completely botched the play Friday, which is a basic fly ball to center field. You know, he tried to make a played hero ball instead of just letting the ball bounce and keep it, you know, in front of him. And then yesterday,
I thought he dove too late.
Then
I thought.
Well, whatever. It was but still both, a stupid
yeah,
play.
Either way, you don't try to make that play.
Yesterday, even Green had that missed, you know, communication that I think it was, he's the center fielder. He's got
to
take
control. It was a fly ball to left center field. Both outfielders came in on it. Riley Green deferred to Parker Meadows, and Parker Meadows looks like he was deferring to Riley Green, and right. The ball fell harmlessly to the ground. And it ends up being a compound problem. The first problem I thought was, uh-oh, because this means that Jack Flaherty won't pitch in the sixth inning. Because Flaherty had thrown like 81 pitches, I think, to that point. And now he's got to pitch to another batter, which is going to extend the number of pitches he throws in the inning, which probably gets him too far or too close to the point where you'd want, maybe it was 87 to get thrown to that point. And A.J. Hinch didn't pitch him in the sixth inning and came out with somebody else, which was a problem because Flaherty was pitching pretty well to that point. But there is an issue with Parker Meadows. The strikeouts are a major concern. When your strikeout rate is over 30%, that's a concern. Now, is it just a recency thing, or is it, I mean, you mentioned it's 36 strikeouts in, it's 109 at bats, let alone plate appearances when you factor in the walks, but he hasn't drawn a ton of walks. In fact, he's only walked one time in his last 34 at bats. So he's not right. Getting on base. What he is doing is when he makes contact, he hits the ball hard. Unfortunately for him, he's had some bad luck of where it goes, right into somebody's mitt. He did it again yesterday, rifled a ball right into somebody's mitt. He did it a few times over the weekend, even into the outfield. But he's only hitting 206 in the month of July after a 187 June. That's not a big climb. And as you said, the average is still, when you add it all together, it's below the Mendoza line. His OPS for the month of July is 434.
Oy.
It's worse than what it was in June, which was no great shakes, when it was 594. Do they have a Parker Meadows problem? I think it's fair to bring up stuff.
Yes, it is. They have a problem. And look, we've seen it last year when he got sent down. Right? He came back and he started doing well. Then he got hurt again. He came back and he was fine. I don't think there's a problem if you decide, you know what? He needs a little bit of Toledo in his life.
Well, and he may. And he may. And that's the thing is that, okay, and I know people would say, well, go trade. Hold off on the. You could certainly trade. Or do they have that other position? Is it already in-house? Does Javi go back to playing center field?
But probably.
Then does Sweeney go back to playing every day at shortstop, and you start looking around at that. But if they wanted to, not saying they have to, but if they wanted to, they could look to Toledo and say, Akil Badu, come on back up.
Hold on.
I'm just saying why, okay?
No, bring anybody.
But 837 OPS, hitting 265 on the year. He just came off a game where he had three triples in one game. He's doing much better, but it's a guy we've seen a million times before. Which is, I imagine, the number one reason.
Give me some other names that they could bring up from Toledo besides him.
Justin Henry Malloy, who's got a 937 OPS, continues to hit there. He's hitting 336 there.
There you go.
He's done very well there. Otherwise, no. Probably I don't need to see Brewer Hicklin. I don't need to see they just let the other one go. Margot, he's gone. But the other thing is just in-house. You've got Vierling who can play the outfield. You've got McKinstry can play anywhere in the outfield you want him to, and you've got Javi Baez that can play out there as well. But does Parker Meadows need to sit, or not sit, but does he need to go to Toledo? He needs to play. He needs to hit every day.
As long as you promise me you're not bringing back Akil Baddoo, I'll do anything.
What's the aversion, the number one aversion?
I just don't think he's good. I mean, he's proven time and time again that he's not good at the major league level.
Fair enough.
I mean, it just the stats just, I mean, I don't have them, I'll look them up, but I mean, he got off to a great start. He's popular. He's got a cool name and all that stuff. He's fast. And
he's got a cool name.
Okay. You know.
No, I mean, to your point, he's a 674 career OPS in the major leagues in over 1,000 at-bats.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got his 1,000 at-bats in the major league level, and
he is what he is. He doesn't have really a great arm from the outfield either, if I'm not mistaken.
No, but he's a guy who can run a little bit, and he can defensively. He's fine out there, but I'm not thrilled with it either. I was just bringing it up. That's one of the names that would be brought up.
I'd rather have Jahan.
I would absolutely rather have Justin Henry Molloy, who can play a corner outfield spot, not very well, but he can hit. And the other thing is, like I mentioned earlier, you're going to get Kerry Carpenter back. And getting Kerry Carpenter back can move people around. Mm-hmm. Wenzel Perez, can he play some center field?
Probably.
Sure. You know, McKinstry can play center field. You got Riley Green. He can slide over to play center field.
Can Jones play center field? I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't want him there.
But. Yeah, I was going to say, and I'm not sure how much of Jamai Jones I want to see.
I'd rather have him than Akil Baddoo. Okay.
Well, Jamai Jones, one thing he has done this year to this point is he's hit left-handed pitching awfully well. Mm-hmm. But here's another guy. He doesn't have many stats in the major leagues. It's only 167 at-bats, but it's a 640 OPS.
It's 200 better than Akil Baddoo.
Yeah, it's nothing. Actually, it's below Akil Baddoo. But yeah, it's nothing to get excited about. The guys to get excited about, unfortunately, are playing at double A ball. Yeah. But that's not happening.
No.
Nor should it. Nor should it. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Speaking of which, the Tigers did make some selections last night in the Major League Baseball draft. Four of them, in fact, in the three rounds. They had an early compensatory pick in the draft balance picks.
I don't understand.
I don't either. I think they make it way convoluted, but the Tigers ended up with the 24th and 34th pick in the draft.
You know what was weird? Usually there's a few of the players that are there. There was nobody there.
No players there. But we'll talk more about the Tigers with you. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Big concerns versus small concerns. We'll break those down with you. We want your input on it as well. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket.